I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Eladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said,
I want to make a podcast!
Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show!
It's time for another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show! I'm John, your host. First up, I want to tell you a little bit about Phoenix Covenant, a really cool game. Then we're going to get into video games with Mad B and Jason Rigdon. And finally, at the end, get your geek on at the con with Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica! So I want to tell you there's a Kickstarter ending soon for a great game called Phoenix Covenant by Hikari Games. We had Adam and Izzy join Rob Clifford and I, and we geeked out for an entire episode about it, episode 31 on the Super Awesome Geek Show, where we interviewed those guys, and then we geeked out about all kinds of cool things that these guys love. So since the Kickstarter's ending very soon, I wanted to give you a little bit of a snippet here of that little interview, that episode we did with them. So check this out. It's a cool game.
Adam's going to tell us a little bit about a new game he's got coming out.
Thank you very much, John. And certainly thank you for letting me on the show. So, yeah, the game is Phoenix Covenant. It is live on Kickstarter, actually, right now. It's by Hikari Games. Like I said, we're new, but you can still find us at hikarigames.com. And then what's going on is you're kind of like in a training mode, in a way. Like, based on the lore, all these different generals of the Phoenix Legion are, you know, being pitted against one another to see who's really has the most, you know, tactical and strategic chops. So what you do is you have your deck of cards, you're pulling from it every turn, you're going to be playing units to the field, moving them across the field, attacking strategic points, which we're calling hard points, that each side controls to do damage to the other side as much as trying to get to each other's base to do major damage to their sides. It is one of those reduce your opponent's life points to zero kind of games for the competitive, you know, combat mode, but there's a lot you can do with it. We have units, spells, and structures. And structures are more strategic, whereas, you know, units and spells can be played tactically as well as strategically.
And in the units themselves that you're playing out in the field, so the field is like a board with a bunch of squares on it, in a sense.
Yes.
And you're moving the pieces from square to square, depending on how much movement each character has. They all have, like, attack powers and
yes, exactly.
Defense.
So, right. All the units have a base attack power. They have range. Some may be melee, so they have to actually turn to face the different entity, whether it's a structure or another opposing unit, to strike it. So that's where turning and facing comes in, because you also want to maximize your armored sides, which each card has. It's labeled very easily along the edge of the card, as much as they have weak points. So if you can get around to weak points, you can do critical damage to your opponent to be able to cut through their troops a lot faster.
Yeah, I think it sounds really cool. The little demos that you showed me, you took me through, I think, three different little scenarios, right?
Yes.
And I just had a blast playing it. I thought it was very creative. The strategy elements are just amazing. I liked how you take a lot of the chance out of the game. Like you were saying, you know, sometimes in Magic you end up getting a hand with no mana, or you just get one every couple turns, and you're kind of like, oh, I kind of got screwed out of the game because of the mana. I didn't have enough mana.
Right.
Where you were saying this one, you're trying to eliminate a lot of that luck of the draw and make it based more on strategy, something sort of like chess, you know?
Yes. And that's something that we really wanted to focus a lot on. We wanted to make the game a lot about maneuver, at least in the strategic sense. And we really love classic tactics games that, you know, it's not all about those rolls of the die. You know, you need to be able to move your unit in, and at least you're going to do some damage, or you're going to do something. Maybe your opponent has something to say about it, which is why we have tactical spells to be able to interrupt, you know, your player actions. But generally speaking, you know, we're not going to be sitting you down and you're going to have to, you know, roll a d20 and then see, you know, see how well you do. It's when you make that decision, you make that decision. There is that nice determinism. But again, there are certain responses that can happen. It's just, you know, you're not going to be stuck to randomness. And certainly we try to stay away from top decking. That's something that, you know, leaving a game up to, oh, well, my opponent just happened to pull that at the right time.
Yeah.
Is, you know, one of those things that makes everybody a sad panda.
All right, we'll leave that interview right there, and I want to encourage you to go over to the superawesomegeekshow.com. Click on episode 31, Geek Out with Adam and Izzy, two of the guys that helped create the game, the designers themselves. You can find them at phoenixcovenant.com, hikarigames.com, or just go to bit.ly/phoenixcovenant. That'll take you right to the Kickstarter, and I mean, I'd get in there real soon because it's only a couple short days to go. All right, let's geek out about video games.
Welcome again to the Super Awesome Geek Show. I'm John, your host. Today we have Mad B and Jason Rigdon.
Hello.
Hola.
And we're going to talk video games. I love retro games. I love my old Atari 2600, my NES, and my Super NES, and sometimes the Genesis. I still have them all hooked up. Do you guys?
I don't think I have anything hooked up.
You don't even have your PS3 hooked up?
It overheats and stops playing, so So I disconnected it, so I just stopped doing the thing where, oh, I'm going to play a game, put it in, then be like, oh, yeah, that's right.
It's probably at the end of its life.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have all my stuff.
Do you have the current systems, too? Because I only have my PS3 and then all the old stuff.
Yeah, I got a PS4 and an Xbox One. So.
Oh, yeah, both. Wow.
I have two PS4s, actually. Because my roommate and I play Destiny together, so.
I see, yeah.
It's, like, cool to be in the same room with somebody and just play dumb games together, so.
I really want to get Destiny, but when I keep seeing that $60 price tag and going, ugh, I don't have it really right now.
Yeah, I would wait for it to go down in price, and then you could probably get all the extra stuff for either free or dirt cheap, so.
I've been hearing eventually. That they're going to put out, because it's already sold like a million copies or more or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hearing that they're really soon going to put out that what do they call it when they reach that, like, the milestone edition or the whatever edition?
It's like, well, there's like the platinum edition.
Yeah, maybe.
And
that's
then there's
it.
Like, usually they have to go gold in sales,
okay.
And then they'll come out with like extra stuff.
Yeah.
They also have like greatest hits editions. I've seen those too. So. Those are usually the best sellers.
Because I remember that's how I got... There was one game I got that, like, after it comes out with those bestseller editions, they come down to, like, $30 or $40. So,
yeah.
It was another game that I had gotten that was like that. And it was probably one of the Little Big Planets, either one or two.
I don't know for sure, but you could probably grab it used. I think you could find it.
Yeah, they had it at GameStop. Used, sale price, $54.99. I was like, you're saving $5?
You're like, wow, thanks, guys.
Yeah. I think GameStop is kind of a terrible place, but money-wise, I mean, it's, like, expensive, you know?
Oh, yeah, GameStop. Up here, it's called EB, so.
Still EB? Okay.
Yeah, it's still EB up here. It threw me for a loop when I first moved up here. I was like, what? It exists! Kind of like Future Shop. I was like, oh, my God.
Do they still have KB Toys up there?
I haven't seen a KB Toys yet, so.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but... I haven't seen that yet. So
I always loved KB Toys when I was a kid, and they had fantastic clearance prices. Like that was one of the few stores. Like I can't stand how a lot of stores have clearance sections. And when you go into them, they're like $25 on clearance, and it's like that's not clearance. I think clearance should be $5 or less everywhere. You know, no matter what it is.
It's been pretty weird though. I usually don't go to game stores anymore. I usually just get everything online.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been buying everything through the PlayStation Network or through Xbox Live, so. Or on Steam, of course. So, it's just easier. It's really lazy, though, when I think about it. I'm like, I'm not even getting out. I'm not walking anywhere. I'm not standing in line with some creepy people. I'm just like, that game looks fun. I'll just buy that right now. Okay. And then you download it.
I learned about the no, you don't need to stand in line thing when, I think it was when one of the Diablos came out and they were making a big deal about it, and I went into the local game store and I stood in line at like midnight and got the game. And then, you know, because they kept telling you, oh, we only have enough to fill the orders and it's going to be sold out the next day and all that stuff. And then the next morning, like everybody else I knew, well, I just walked to the store in the morning and got the game. I was like, damn it, I stayed up all late and got in line and did this whole deal and for nothing. Because you can just go there the next morning when they open.
That's what I did for Mass Effect 2. I went to the midnight release. I was the only chick there. That was really weird. Everybody was talking to me. I don't know what the hell was going on there. But, like, I was just like, I just want my dumb game. Give me my game. Get the game. Play it real late. Try to go to work. I'm tired. And then, like, my coworker is like, hey, I just got it. They had, like, entire shelf full.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody was making a big stink that it was going to be sold out, you know. I refuse to do midnight launches. I won't do it.
Yeah, now I'm done with them.
Yeah. I'll just wait until it's available for, like, preload on Steam or something, and I'll be like, yay, hooray, I'm going to bed.
So I want to ask Jason, do you have, like, a favorite game of old? Do you remember anything from when you were younger that you really, really loved?
Well, like, are we including, like, computer games in this, right?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot. The ones I really loved were those, like, NetHack games. Did you ever play those, like, was, like, Angband? They're, like, those crazy little, like, dungeon-crawling games.
Oh, those where you just kind of awesome. Moved forward like a screen or something real quick? Or do you mean even earlier than
you
that?
It was all like, just like letters. So like you'd be like a little at symbol and you'd run around and kill a whole bunch of like exclamation marks.
I see what you're saying. I think I only saw like one or two of those when I was younger.
It was one of those games where there was no, I suppose there, you can win, but I never got that far. I mean, you just would level up to insane amounts and it was great.
You mean
and
it was very like level 2086 or something.
Yeah, and it was very brutal because you know when you die, it's over, and then you just start back at, you know, the first level. There's no saves. It's just pretty much. Well, I mean, there's saves, but when you die, it just deletes the file.
Wow. Did you? Could you go in and make copies of the file and then just like
you could, and some of the people like would make it hard, so you couldn't do that. But yeah, there's all kinds of crazy lore about that game. There's so many different versions. I've got it on the. I just discovered them on the cell phone on Android. There's some cool versions
really?
On there. Yeah, and it's just because they brought in a lot of lore from, you know, Lord of the Rings and just the number of creatures and types of creatures and objects you'd get. It was just such a rich environment.
Huh. And they would just have text that would tell you what you found.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, there's no real graphics at all. Yeah. But, well, you know, games like that, once you're – a lot of those are big RPG games, you know, by the time you're going through it, everything looks the same.
Yeah.
Right, you've seen the same model reused in different ways over and over and over again, right? So it works out.
Yeah, well, so was that probably some of the first games you played? Like, what was, I guess we should do
that. That was the first game I got into.
Yeah.
Like, where I spent hours and hours playing it.
Because I think the first thing that the first console kind of thing we had was my brother and I got this little white console thing that plugged into the television, an old black and white TV that my dad had. And it had these, you would take up the two controllers that just had dials on them. And they had strings, like the cords were wrapped in cloth, you know, that attached to the unit. So you couldn't go that far away from the actual unit that plugged into the TV. And it was just Pong. You had like, it was like you had one bumper and it could beep back and forth. And you could click this little toggle switch on it and then it would have two bumpers. And we were like, woo. And you click the toggle switch again and it had one bumper in front and one bumper in the back. And you were like, awesome. So it's basically three different games that you could click by moving these toggle switches on the thing. And I've always wondered like what system it was and what it was. But then I think our first computer game was my brother got one of those Commodore. It was either the 64 or the something like it was just the keyboard that you'd plug into the TV. Do you remember that? And he had one of those text-based games. Like, we just plugged this thing in, yeah. And it started out with, like, you're by a white house, and there's a mailbox. What are you going to do?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And like, I remember like, my brother was always swearing at it, go freaking raw, stupid. And it's like, don't know what freaking raw is. And after, like, I think it was after, like, 100 tries, it would go, try opening the mailbox or give you some kind of hint or something. And then you're like, oh yeah, turn the light on. That makes sense. But then we got an Atari 2600 and we were like, that was it. It was over. We sat there all day playing games. That was like the greatest thing in the world. And I got to say, I liked E.T. even though everyone rates it as the worst
really?
Game ever. Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently I'm the only one who ever finished it. I've been told by a number of people that no one can finish the E.T. game for the Atari 2600 and that it makes it the worst game ever. But it's like, I can do it in like 5 or 10 minutes. You just collect the three pieces, go out to the field, raise your head, it goes, whoa, and Elliot runs up and he takes some candy and then the ship lands and you get in the ship and it's over.
Well, don't ruin it for me, don't ruin it.
Spoilers, God!
That's pretty much literally how long it takes to solve that game. Just as long as I told you about it.
But how much did that game cost at the time?
Oh, it's probably like $60 or $70, yeah. Well, if you're not careful, this scientist guy comes and steals all your pieces. Then you have to start over. But you just have to run off the side of the screen and he disappears. What's your favorite game, Matt? Do you remember any of these old ones?
I remember the first few games that I played was like Pitfall on the Atari. and this train game that I can never remember the name of on the Commodore 64. But yeah, it was like, it was really weird. It had super bright colors and it had awesome music, and the whole point was to control this like sci-fi train on the tracks, and it would get faster and faster with every correct train diversion. Huh. So, and I've been trying to find it because I want to see if it's as awesome as I remember. Because as a little kid, I was just like, this is the best thing ever. This music's amazing. But now I'm just like, I don't think it was that amazing. I'm pretty sure it probably wasn't. But I need to find it, and I still...
And then you guys all had an NES, right? A Nintendo?
Oh, yeah. I had the robot.
Yeah, me too. I had Robbie the... I still have Robbie the robot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Aw, I'm jealous. Some I think reason, my parents returned ours.
I still have the whole box and everything, the foam, everything it came in. For some reason, I think what happened was I probably plugged them in and played them once or twice. And then I was like, ooh, good thing I kept the box, because this guy's kind of useless. So I put him back in the box, and I just had my... NES and the gun to play Duck Hunt. I think the only gun game I ever had was Duck Hunt. I don't think I ever bought any other gun games.
I don't remember if I had any other. My parents were pretty good at buying us kids every new console. It would be a little bit later than normal, but we still got the new consoles, and it was really cool.
See, I think they only bought us the Atari 2600, and then I had to work an entire summer mowing lawns in the neighborhood to save up to have... I saved up enough money to get a small television... And then the Nintendo with the robot and stuff, and that was. And then I had to do it again a few years later when the Super Nintendo came out. I had to work in a whole summer mowing lawns, and I was selling eggs because we lived on a farm. So I'd go out and collect all the eggs and run down the neighborhood with dozens of eggs and sell them for $1 a dozen and save up that way too.
Oh man, the Super Nintendo is the one console that I abused the crap out of. Like, and I memorized every game I had. I had so many RPG games, and I had, my favorite was Chrono Trigger, and I had that game. I think I still have that game completely memorized. Like, I don't even have to look. I just know where everything is.
Was Chrono Trigger, that was the extension of, like, Final Fantasy stuff, right?
Well, it's by the same company, yeah. But it's a totally different world.
Okay.
And so you're just traveling through time, trying to correct all these insane paradoxes. It's, oh man, I love that game so much. I still love that game. They keep updating it occasionally. I see it on like on the app stores and whatnot on iTunes.
Huh. I'll have to look around. Yeah, because I had the Final Fantasy series for, you know, I think there was two of them for the NES, and then I had one or two for the Super Nintendo. And then I had like three different Dragon Warriors for the NES, but I'm not sure, did they make a Dragon Warrior for the Super Nintendo?
I think there was a lot for the Super Famicom for in Japan. But...
Okay.
It took forever for them to ever be released in the U.S.
Because I really liked those Dragon Warrior series. I thought
they were
cool.
Those games are so awesome. I love them.
Did you play any of those, Jason?
No. No. My first system that I had, I think, was just the PlayStation when I got my apartment.
Oh, okay.
On it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then like the Ultima series. I remember I had all those for the... I think there was three or four of them for the Nintendo, the regular one Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and those were pretty... Those were like... time-consuming and intense, you know?
Now I'm sitting here going, I wonder what games I have in the basement. I should go dig around. My roommate's got a love for retro stuff, too, so he's been collecting a lot of older consoles.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, we'll have this awesome setup in our basement for all our old gaming stuff. Until then, we're getting there, but we still need to get a few more consoles. I think we're missing a few.
Yeah, I remember one of the girls I was hanging out with a few years back, and one of her friends, we went over to his house for a party, and we went down in the basement, and he had like four or five different the arcade cabinets of all these old games.
Awesome.
And he had these huge TVs set up with like, you know, each one had three or four different retro and old console systems set up and a whole bunch of games. And I was like, oh my gosh, you have like the basement of my dreams, you know? Awesome, you know, it was so much fun, and he had all the games rigged so that you didn't have to put the quarters in, you know what I mean? You just went up and started playing, and the continues just kept going, you know.
Yeah, before I moved up here, I had a arcade in my garage, but we never really used it.
What game was it?
It was Golden Axe. I think it's Golden Axe.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. Double check. It was Golden Axe. Yeah, and it was hilarious looking. It had, like, these really offensive, mildly offensive, like, paintings on the side of it. It's really great. We just didn't have any space in the house, though, to, like, plug it in anywhere.
Yeah.
which made me sad. I think we ended up selling it.
It's too bad I didn't know. I probably would have grabbed it from you.
Aww.
I wouldn't have anywhere to put it now, though, in here. My apartment is running out of space.
It's time to upgrade.
I can't afford it yet. Someday. When I'm able to leave this place, it'll be house time. That's what it'll be.
Houses are the best thing ever.
I have this feeling that we need to get a house soon because once they finalize that whole $15 an hour minimum wage thing, mm-hmm. I just have a feeling that the apartment rents are just going to skyrocket. They're going to go to like $2,000 a month because they're going to be expecting everyone to be having that much extra money.
I still miss owning a house, but eventually I'll buy a house up here. We'll see.
Yeah.
And then I can fill it up with more video games.
And toys.
Oh, God, my toy collection's getting out of hand. Someone needs to stop me.
I basically have, like, one cabinet, and I say that, and there's a shelf that I allow myself to use. But I'm like, once it starts getting where, oh, it's moved to another shelf, or, like, things are starting to scatter about, I'm like, all right, a couple things have to get sold. I take some stuff down that I haven't looked at in a long time, and, you know. I try to keep myself disciplined with the toys.
I've made the mistake of getting obsessed with third-party Transformers because they look better. So now I'm just like, I need this one. Oh, this one's nice too. I think I'll buy this one. Conventions are the worst for me. I just like walk around. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to be poor forever.
Yeah, some of those ones that I think, like, Jason, weren't you and I looking at some at Emerald City last year that were just like super cool? They were like third-party Transformers.
Yeah, they're like really nice ones.
Yeah.
But they also have, is it the Masterpiece Collection that's,
they're high-end.
It's licensed, right? Yeah, but yeah. They're super, super nice.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just, it's driving me crazy. Like, there's so many that I want, and I have to pick and choose. So I'm just like, okay, I can afford this one, and I will not buy this one. And then the next thing you know, I'm buying the other thing.
Did any of you guys manage to grab that Metroplex, the more recent one?
No, I tried to grab him. I tried so hard. I saw him at Costco on sale for $80, and I went, okay, I'm going to go the next day. My roommate and I were like, we're going to go. We're going to go get him. So we went to go get him, and he was gone. They were all gone. And I wanted him so bad because I wanted to put him in my bathroom and hold my toilet paper.
yeah, I wish I had gotten one of those. I never saw him in any of the stores around here.
And really? Then,
yeah, I never did.
I felt like he was all over for like a brief period of time. Like I saw him at Costco too.
Wow. No, I never saw him.
I almost bought him at Costco, but I was like, what am I going to do with this guy? He's gigantic.
Oh, he's so big. And I was like, if I put him in the cart, he's just going to take up the whole cart. So we were like, well, we'll come back for him because we're actually shopping and we'll come back. And now I'm kicking myself. I should have bought him when I saw him. Because now he's going for like $300-$400 online.
Oh my gosh!
And I'm not going to spend that kind of money.
Yeah. Well, the last time
I love him.
The last time I looked, there was a couple of them that were in the $80 to $90 range, and I was bidding on them. But then, you know, sometimes I have to go to work at the bookstore, and like while I was there, someone would outbid me, and it'd be like it sold for $91, and I was like, crap, you know. and then all the other ones I saw afterwards were going for like $150 to $175, stuff like that. But I hadn't seen any that were that high yet. But I hadn't looked in a couple months now, so I kind of gave up after I had lost a couple of them.
Oh, wow. How did we get from talking about video games to, like, hey?
Because there's awesome Star or Transformers. There's a whole bunch of awesome Transformer video games. That's what it is.
That's true.
Are there a bunch of awesome ones?
Well, I did like the Fall of Cybertron game.
Cybertron is amazing. It's like a beautiful game engine. The textures are beautiful. It's well designed. Like the voice acting is straight on. It's just, it's great. And it's multiplayer is actually like playable. So, and I don't even like multiplayer.
I haven't tried a multiplayer on that one yet.
I played it. I purposely got all the Dinobots and they're just like running around and setting things on fire. That's pretty much. I'm completely useless in most multiplayer. Like I think Destiny is the only game I actually am useful. Because in Fall of Cybertron, I'm just running around. I'm like, I'm a dinosaur! I didn't mean to swear. I'm sorry.
We can meow you out. It's all right.
No, I demand Godzilla roar.
Oh, okay. We'll give you a Godzilla roar. All right. Yeah, I wanted to bring up one game, though. For the Genesis, I had a game called Flashback. It was a sci-fi kind of game, and you woke up on like an alien world and had to figure out what you were and what you were doing. and how you got there and stuff. And, oh, that was an amazing – I must have played that game to death. I loved it so much. And it was one of the few Sega Genesis games that I ever owned. I mean, I probably ever owned – and back in the day, I only owned like 4 or 5 Genesis games. But that one was by far my favorite. I don't know if any of you guys remember that.
Did somebody remake that?
Yeah, I think it did get remade because it was such a cool thing.
I remember seeing screenshots for it and thinking it was gorgeous. Yeah. Like it was like a almost semi-painted background.
Oh, yeah. The original was just as gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. The original was really pretty. And I thought, wow. I just looked it up and it still looks good.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Aw, it's so cute. Look at those little pixels. But, yeah, I remember playing the game, but I think my sisters hogged it more than I did. That's one of those games that, it, for whatever reason, I just didn't play enough of.
And for the computer back in the day, I remember one that Lucasfilm actually put out, or LucasArts, right? It was LucasArts on their computer stuff, right?
Yep.
And it was called The Dig. Do you remember The Dig?
Oh, yeah. You like that?
Yeah, one? I loved that game.
Oh.
You didn't, Jason?
No, I just heard bad things about it, so I never got it.
Huh. I think it was kind of one of those things that was sort of like, if I remember correctly, it was a little bit like those King's Quest games where you didn't have a whole lot of moving graphics on it, you know, but like each time you went into a different area, you just kind of like saw one guy walking down a path and then it clicked to the next scene.
Yeah, like the point and click kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like was it Myst? Is that kind of like Myst where you have to click on things to make things move, or?
Yeah, sort of, but you also had a character on the screen, and your character just kind of walked.
Okay. Yeah.
Like if there was a path, like there was like one painted still screen, but there was like a path on it, you know, like
yeah, because they did a lot of games like that. Like wasn't Sam and Max like that?
Yeah, I think Sam and Max was sort of that way. Yeah, but I for some reason I did. I just liked that game a lot. I remember my friend Paul and I just sat there every day after school or something and just played it in the computer room that my dad set up. We had a lot of that kind of stuff. My dad got a computer and. I would say it was like either 89, 90, or 91, somewhere in that range. And we were late to getting a computer. And my friends around the neighborhood, we just all come by after school or something and a different gate. Like we went through Myst that way. We went through like this, The Dig, and a couple other games where we just, everyone would come over. We'd all work on it together, you know?
My mom used to play Myst all the time and I would be the backseat driver, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there's little me yelling at her that she's going the wrong way, and she's just like, shut up! You know? I can play the game!
Or figuring
my
out the puzzle.
My mom used to get real angry.
You're like, don't
she
miss!
Would get really angry.
No, you're moving
she
gets over
so angry.
There!
She would just yell at the computer or at the console when I was a little kid. And then, like, I'd be sitting there just wanting to take it from her and just do it. Of course, I probably wouldn't do any better, but, like, I was just one of those kids. I was so obnoxious.
I mean, I guess I should ask, what are your guys' favorite games for recently? Like, I mean, obviously, Matt, you love Destiny.
It's not my favorite game, though. It's pretty, and I like the companies that make it. But my all-time favorite game is
Mass Effect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mass Effect 1, 2, and I guess 3, too. It's, I love that series so much. It's like, it's Sid Mead in space with aliens. I mean, you can't get much better than that, so.
What, have you liked anything recently, Jason? Before your PlayStation started crapping out on you?
You know, I didn't really play that many games. I mean, the one I should... It's just... is it even really a game? Minecraft is like, you know, I played that for quite a while. That's fairly recent, right?
Yeah.
Still relevant.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Minecraft's amazing. It's such a calming game.
Sometimes, yeah. It depends. I mean, that when you're first starting out... I mean, I haven't played it for a little while, but when you're first starting out and, you know, it gets dark out, it can be a little terrifying.
Yeah, especially if you turned it up all the way and you're like, oh, God, creepers everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Hiding in a hole, hoping it finds you.
They've made so many updates to that game. There's like, you can ride a horse,
Yeah, I think I stopped playing when they first started the, it's called the Enderverse.
Yeah.
Where you can go into, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, but we started playing that, like, when, because that time period when they had the kind of the sliding scale of what you could pay.
Oh, yeah, like the beta version? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, they added more features. They're like, oh, that's going up $5. Yeah, because when we started playing, I think there was just the zombies and the creepers, and that was pretty much it. And, yeah, it was still scary then.
Huh. Yeah, I was surprised when I went to Florida. My dad had somehow run across it or saw it in stores or something, you know, and he just really liked the pixel art of the game. You know, he was like, this is so cool to have a game like this today when graphics can be so awesome, but they're doing a little bit of a throwback, but yet it still looks like really good and cool, you know? And he was just enthralled by the graphics and the pixelized art and everything. And then we were out somewhere and we saw a bunch of like knickknacks and toys and like pillows and stuffed things and stuff. And he's just sitting there like a little kid at the store that we're in. He's looking at all the merchandise and going, "Ooh, I could get like a little pillow and put it on the chair." And I'm like, "Dad," you know, I mean, it's the only time. I mean, like my whole time growing up, my dad has been like, you know, that's the one thing that my dad and I don't connect on is like games and toys. You know, he doesn't really understand why I never let this go from when I was a little kid, you know? And I think he's always just had this, like, I just don't understand it, why you're still into toys and games so much and stuff. But now it's like, he's so attracted to that pixelized art and the things like that. Like, I think it's the one thing that's kind of, okay, now we have something to talk about, you know, in this realm, you know, because usually my dad and I are talking about history or science, or we talk about the stock market and things like that, and we can just go on forever about that kind of stuff. And that's where we make a lot of our connections and we can talk for hours on. And we both love doing the history and the science and the stock market stuff. But it's like, now finally I have a game I can talk to my dad about, you know. And when I was down there last in Florida, he's like, "Can you make my Twitter picture, it's stuff on Facebook and everything, be the little characters from Minecraft?" And I was like, "Yeah, I think I could do that still." Because like Minecraft was one of those games that they didn't care if you just used their stuff around. I think they look at it as more advertising for their game. You know what I mean? I hear they don't care if you make little knickknacks or pillows or do something on your own and sell it. Because they
we'll see what happens with what, right? Microsoft just
yeah,
bought
that's
right?
What I heard. They just
we'll
bought
see what happens
out, so.
There. Did you read any of the Notch's writings about his experience?
No, I haven't.
Why he? I highly recommend checking out. I mean, it was a rough experience. It was interesting because it sounded more of like how a rock star deals with fame than what you kind of think a lot of times with the game developer. You know, so a few times I think. It takes such a huge team for a lot of these games that you don't have the kind of face to go along with it. And it was very difficult for him. People blame him personally for a lot of problems in the game, you know?
Oh no, that is very true. Yeah. First-hand experience. you, it doesn't matter if what you do in a game, you will get personally blamed. And it's all your fault because you just get made that bad guy, the boogeyman. Oh. So they will specifically blame you and like, "Hey man, I just draw." "What?" And they're like, "No, the writing is terrible and it's your fault." I'm like, "All right, that's cool." Yeah, I mean, and people online can be brutal. I used to follow Notch and he would get, like, it would be nonstop. He'd be constantly replying to people and it was just.
Wow.
So I don't blame him for just being like, well, it doesn't help or it doesn't hurt that he also got like a $1 billion buyout. So.
Be like,
but. I'll just go buy myself a few planes. I'll see you guys later.
I bought an asteroid to live on.
Oh, man, that's a good idea. I want to do that.
Or get your own island or something, you know?
An island would probably be more plausible.
Yeah, right now.
For right now.
Yeah.
And then just move up from there. Start a space station.
Yeah. In 10 years, buy a space station, and 10 more years, buy an asteroid, and then a small moon, you know?
You know, any moon.
Small moon.
Next thing you know, you're buying Titan.
Yeah.
And then all of Jupiter's moons.
And then you implode Jupiter to form your own little star so you can be nice and warm.
Oh, wow. Where's Titan Saturn's? I don't remember.
Oh,
whichever. I'm going to buy all of them.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think Titan was on Saturn or around Saturn. Yeah. I think you're right.
We'll fix that.
We can move it.
Yeah.
Why is it in orbit around Earth? Whatever. I'm rich.
Yeah, Reese, I think of recent series, I like the Uncharted series the best. I still do, even after everything. I mean, the Batman Arkham series was really good, but I whenever there's like nothing else for me to play, I always go back to one of the Uncharted games and either play all the way through it again, or I'll go to the multiplayer on Uncharted 3. And play a lot of that because there's so many multiplayer options. A lot of co-op options. And that's what I really like is how much – I love those like missions and maps where it's all co-op and you can get two or three people and you have to kind of work your way through it together. And I just think that's a load of fun.
So you have a PS3, right?
Yeah, just a 3. I don't have a 4 yet.
Have you guys ever played Journey?
Oh, I've seen it, but no, I haven't played it yet.
The most gorgeous game I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's co-op. It's completely co-op, and there's no way to know who your partner is. Yeah. It's just completely random. And at first I was kind of turned off because, again, I don't really like multiplayer unless I'm playing with friends. So I decided to do it, and I was crying at the end.
Really?
Me and this random person I met online did the whole journey together, and I'm not going to spoil how it ends, but I was just like, this is the saddest and most amazing game I've ever played in my life. And I immediately bought the soundtrack right after. But, like, I highly recommend it for anybody. Like,
it's only on the PlayStation, right?
Yeah, PS3 for right now. I've been hoping that it'll be made eventually on the PS4. I don't know if it is, but yeah, it's on my PS3. So, and it's the most gorgeous game.
Yeah, it looks really magical.
It's so good, and I like that company. What's their name? That Game Company, I think that's their name. They make such good, interesting, unique games. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else they create.
Yeah, I think I feel like before we moved, like our separate ways, you know, my brother and I, we were living together for a little while here. And I think he had that right at the tail end. I think he got one of that game. And I remember just looking at the graphics on it and just being like, oh my gosh, this thing is like just so beautiful. And it was like, it was kind of, at least the spot where he was in, where he was starting out or whatever, it seemed simple, but yet.
Yeah.
Like you said, gorgeous. I was like, holy cow, this is like amazing. And just watching him walk through, and I remember that it was kind of like a field or something, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, you're in the sand, and you're running around. And it's so cool because, like, the graphics are very simple, but it's all about color theory and lighting, and that's what makes it just raw. It's jaw-dropping. It's just the most amazing thing. It's just like, I want to make a game like that. Only a horror game. In space. With Journey graphics. I should write that down. I might be on to something.
Speaking of journeys, should our journey come to an end? Is there anything else you guys want to say? Any other games that you guys have liked through the years that you want to talk about? All right. Looks like our journey is coming to an end. That was our talk on video games. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with me about games.
Thank you.
So as I said before, today we've got a special episode of Get Your Geek On at the Con. And today we're at the Jet City Comic Show in Tacoma, Washington. And we talked with Richard Hatch. I'm sure all you geeks out there know Richard Hatch quite well, as he played Apollo on the original Battlestar Galactica back in the 70s and 80s. And speaking of Battlestar, you all know that he also played in the new TV series that was in the late 2000s there as Tom Zarek. And for all you Star Trek fans out there, they just announced that in pre-production is Star Trek Axanar, and he's going to be playing a Klingon named Karn. You can check that out. The prelude to Axanar is really quite good. I would encourage you to go look at that and find out what Axanar is about. Well, here we go. Let's geek out with Richard Hatch. I'm at the Jet City Comic Show, and I want to find out what Richard Hatch geeks out about.
Well, number one, I geek out about geeks. I love the world of geeks. All my friends are geeks. Half my friends work at JPL. It's you can't be in this world for very long, I mean, without being assimilated. So all I can tell you is, since I was 8 years old, I've been reading sci-fi, love fantasy. My favorite show right now is Game of Thrones. I think that is just one of the most extraordinary series ever on television. And now I'm watching, of course, the new Ron Moore project called, what is it called? Just skipped my brain. Bear McCreary's doing the music for it about the woman doctor in the 1940s going to 16th century Scotland.
Oh, the, yes.
Yeah, what is it called? Yes, I can't think.
Diana Gabaldon did the book.
Yes.
Outlander.
Outlander. Outlander. Sorry. I cannot believe I couldn't remember. Anyway, so that's all I can tell you, and I try to stay away from games right now because I'm actually creating stories, shows. I'm putting together this incredible story called Guam, which is 10 years in the making, about an ancient star mariner who tends to be hundreds of thousands of years old and then has been on Earth for 800 years, and he's written a series of popular sci-fi books that turn out to be true.
Oh, cool.
And it's a story within a story, and it's kind of a, what's the word? It is a labor of love. It is something I put everything into. When I couldn't do the Battlestar series, and I had written 7 books and developed that story 25 years into the future, I finally had to say, how can I explore all those theoretical probabilities and possibilities in the universe? You know, the where mankind has come from, where they're going, all of that really, really cool stuff. I said, what can I do? And I started to write this incredible project called Guam. By the way, I loved it. Is, if you have not seen it, you must go see this new Interstellar. I mean, it is not what you think. It really explores some pretty, pretty, very deep, profound concepts. But the way he puts it all together, it's what can I say? It's earth-shaking.
Wow.
And the experience, I don't know how they tweak the sound, but, you know, we had Sensoround back in the day for Battlestar. I think they borrowed from Sensoround because every time those ships were moving, we were vibrating. Your whole body,
wow.
The seat, the theater vibrates. It's an emotional experience.
It's definitely
visually
a theater watch.
Oh, my God. It's a powerful experience in the movie theater. But like I said, it explores some very, very powerful concepts that I think people will find interesting. It's not just a space movie. It's got so much more going for it. And it's got a lot of heart, a lot of emotion.
Cool. Yeah, I look forward to seeing it. It's something I'm going to check out in the next couple of weeks.
Cool. All
hey,
right.
Thank you very much.
So
I really
say we all. So say we all.
Thank you.
All right. And that was Richard Hatch. I want to really thank him for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. It's always cool to talk to these guys. And to everyone out there, thanks a lot for listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show. Stay geeky, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Been listening to the Super Awesome Geek Show. We have new episodes every Friday. Interviews and other cool stuff go up on Tuesdays when we have them. You can find us at superawesomegeekshow.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/superawesomegeekshow. We're on Twitter at Awesome Geek Show. We have a Patreon account, patreon.com/superawesomegeekshow. All your pledges help, and we really appreciate the support. If you'd like to participate and or be on the show, just email me, john@mywitch.net. Well, from all of us hosts, we'd like to thank you for listening. Hope you have a good week. And join us next time on the Super Awesome Geek Show. See you later, everyone.